Anyone who has ever spent any time in ministry service will tell you that there are good days and there are bad days. There may come a point where you wonder why you're even doing this anymore. Some of the most common reasons that leaders suffer from ministry burnout include a lack of support from the pastors or staff, lack of effort from the ministry team, lack of response from the church, lack of budget or resources to meet the changing needs. The above can also be coupled with the ministry impacting the time with your family, home, or work responsibilities, or even just a diminishing of your call. There are times when it is certainly reasonable and, in fact, beneficial to leave the ministry. If there has been conflict where you've been in sin, if you are neglecting your family or work responsibilities, or if God is actually calling you into another ministry, He may be even calling you into a season of stillness. Leaving ministry work is the right step in these cases. However, there may be occasions where leaving is not the right response, and we need to work through it for our own good and for the benefit of the ministry. Simple frustration or overcoming obstacles is not a reason to throw in the towel. Personality conflicts and budget issues are not a reason to take your ball and go home. Low attendance or poor team effort is never a reason to quit. In these particular issues, when a person feels like quitting, it's rarely rooted in God calling them to leave the ministry, but instead it's indicative that there's some trouble in the ministry, and that this trouble may exist with others or because of outside factors, and it can also fall at the feet of the leader. When leaders become performance-driven, they're looking for results and numbers. They want some sort of evidence that their work is producing results, and if they can't produce the results, well, they'll just quit. Recently, I got word that an old pastor of mine had quit and the church had folded. When I reached out to some of my old congregation members to understand what had happened, I was shocked to find out the reasoning. The pastor felt that he wasn't making a difference in anyone's lives because nobody was answering the altar calls on Sunday mornings. So he set a deadline. If just one person would come to faith in Christ by this specific date, he would continue as pastor. However, if there was no response, he was going to retire. Oh, pastor, what you didn't know. You didn't know that there was someone who had been wrestling with their faith, attending every Sunday faithfully, but uncertain if today was going to be the day that he was going to slip up his hand. You didn't know about the girl who came to Christ at the funeral service you led for a member of the body. She didn't raise her hand on a Sunday morning, but you touched her heart with your message. And as you spoke about the man praying for his family, she was accepting Christ into her heart. You do not know the number of people who are quoting you to this very day because of the wisdom that you had imparted upon them. You may not be aware of the number of believers whom you helped deepen their belief, understanding of the scriptures, and influence their relationship with God. You didn't know. If it can happen to a pastor, it can happen to any ministry leader. We may not see the results that we're looking for or that we're expecting, but that doesn't mean that God isn't moving in the lives of the women that we encounter. In fact, when we are looking for results, we're looking for results of our own efforts. We have allowed programs and events and studies and ministry to become about what we can accomplish and what we can do in the church and for the kingdom. And when we look for those results, we're seeking to receive some sort of affirmation that our works are good and that we're successful in whatever the Lord is asking of us. And it can become our pat on the back of a job well done. It becomes about us over God. Acts 20:35 says, "In all things I've shown you that by working hard this way, we must help the weak remember the works of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" When we lead a ministry, it isn't about us or even the women that we're serving. It's all about Christ. It is all about God and His will for the ministry. We are to continue pouring out into these women, even if we never receive an ounce of recognition for it. We continue serving, even if we ourselves are never able to see the results that we hoped for. Galatians 6:9 reads, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." When a leader finds herself making the decision to continue in ministry based on results, it can quickly become a situation of pride. Therefore, when these feelings start to arise, we must pray and enter into a relationship with God to reveal that true nature of our heart on that issue. We want God to take our eyes off of ourselves and focus them on Himself so that everything that we are doing is for Him and for His glory. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act." When we trust that God will take the ministry in His desired direction, and we trust in Him to do the work in the hearts of our guests, we are allowing Him to act. We are just the facilitators to bring the women to the right place at the right time. I've always believed that with every event we plan, if 200 women show up, each one God called to be there for that very specific reason. We can begin to change our intentions from performance-based to gospel-centered by dying to our own self and yielding to His purposes instead of our own. Psalm 138:8 says that the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. If God hasn't called you to serve elsewhere, then He's most likely not prompting you to leave where you are. You're still doing this job because there's still work for you to do. And it may be something as simple as finding your replacement, because God will be moving you in the future. It could also be because you have a great lesson to learn through this difficult season, or that God is preparing the ministry for something greater. You will not be successful in this ministry, however, if you can't allow yourself to get out of the way. There is sometimes a false belief that because we are doing God's work, that our ministry service will be easy, that there will be no hurdles, and the finances will always be there. We forget, though, that we have an enemy that's working against us. He wants us to feel defeated, dissatisfied, disappointed, and he is actively seeking to divide and destroy ministry. This is why so often throughout this course presentation, we address the need for prayer. We need God's protection just as much as His guidance and His provision. It's important to understand that we will all experience difficulty in ministry service at one time or another. And when disappointment or uncertainty plagues us, we must pray for God to give us discernment. Keep pushing through the difficult times unless God is calling you to move elsewhere. Refocus yourself and your team on God's work in the ministry above your own. We may not always see the results of our service, but God sees them and He's using them. God works at a different pace and in different ways than we do, and His timing is not our own. I met with a woman from a women's ministry team that was going through difficult times. The team wanted to do so much more, but they felt held back. And the woman lamented, "With our current events, I could do this on my own. We don't need a team for this. We are wasting talent. If they would just let me, I could fix this. I could structure the team. I could build a calendar. I could put together great events. I don't understand why they won't let me. I have the skills, the experience, and the knowledge. I could do this." This woman wasn't being arrogant. Her gifts and talents were definitely being underutilized by her church. However, she had allowed her view of the ministry to become about what she could do. It wasn't about God's plan or the church's overall vision. It wasn't even about what the women in the church wanted. It was all about what she thought was right, what she felt she could do, and how she felt she was being held back. She was fighting for what she wanted the ministry to be. She had lost focus. Women's ministry isn't about us. It is and always should be about God.